إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت. لك الحمد يا ربي على نعمة الإسلام، ولك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك، ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت. والدين والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، ونصح الأمة، وكشف الغمة، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him. And we bear witness that there is no deity except Him. There is no owner of the attributes of greatness except Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His Prophet and Messenger. We bear witness that Prophet Jesus is His Prophet and Messenger as well. We bear witness that all Prophets came to teach the same guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, we bear witness that Allah is way above and beyond any descriptions that describes Him less than perfect, less than what He should be and what He deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's way above and beyond any description that describes Him as a man who came down to earth and let a bunch of criminal thugs torture Him and whip Him and humiliate Him in such a miserable way and then kill Him at the end. He's way above and beyond any description that describes Him as someone who ate food and went to the bathroom. Somebody who walked on earth, because He's way above and beyond any of these descriptions. And we bear witness that He is the only worthy and the only owner of the attributes of greatness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, before the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, humanity was extremely confused about the most important questions of life. Who are we? What are we doing on this earth? What's the purpose of this whole life? Everything seems to be a big deal at the time, but it is quickly forgotten. Pain is forgotten, pleasure is forgotten. People are thrown in graves 6 foot under dirt, and they are quickly forgotten. Nobody remembers them. So what is the purpose of life? What is this whole life about? Is there any God there up there? Is there any? If He is up there, what is He expecting from us? What should we expect back from Him? Is there any life after death? Yes? No? If there is a life after death, then what happens? Is there heaven and hell? Who goes to heaven? Who goes to hell? Based on what criteria? What is right and what is wrong? What is truth and what is falsehood? What is fiction and superstition? And what is the truth? And they had lots of important questions. And I remember a few years ago that I heard about a conference where they gathered people from all factions of life, all cultures, all religions, all countries, all nations, in a big conference, thousands of people from all over the world, in a conference that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the theme of the conference was, is there a life after death or not? And subhanAllah, a Muslim child is so lucky that he knows the answer. A Muslim child, he or she will tell you that yes, there's an eternity after death. Those who do well will be generously rewarded by Allah. Those who did bad, they are going to be severely punished by Allah. The Muslim child knows about Allah that Allah is advertising to us that He implements the concept of the carrots and the stick. Carrots being Jannah and stick being hellfire. And Allah wants us to build an ethical life based on that. Based that He's the supreme judge who owns Jannah, which is the carrot, and who also has the hellfire, which is the stick. A Muslim child knows that. Guess what was the conclusion of that conference that cost thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars? The conclusion was they ended up more confused than they started. And they had absolutely, they couldn't agree on anything. The smartest human brain at the time, at the ancient time, when a question was posed, what's the purpose of life, was Socrates. He was around. And he stayed up for 3 nights staring at the skies, putting facts together, trying to come up with an answer. At the end, he came up with a silly, ridiculous answer. He said that Allah created us, and then He ignored us afterwards. Because He can't think about things lower than Him, and we're lower than Him. So, He just cares about Himself, He doesn't care about us. It's like you bet something and you walk away from your bet, you don't care about your bet. It's like a child making toys out of clay, and then after he's done playing with the toys, he's walking away from these clay toys and thus leaves them like that. And there's nobody watching us, and there's nobody who's taking care of this earth, and basically we are on our own. And indeed, he failed to explain how could the great one who created this magnificent earth, how could he be lack wisdom to such a level? If we have a little child creating a live mess and walking away from it, we will blame that child and say, you can't do that. Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behave in such a way? Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything? Yes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only do things that will not disqualify Him from being Allah anymore. Allah will never do any shameful things. Why? Because God doesn't do shameful things. Allah would take Himself out of status if He does shameful things, or if He does things that lack wisdom like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself that إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَلَمُوا. I made injustice prohibited on myself, and I made it prohibited on you, so don't do injustice to each other. Where Allah can do injustice if He wants, but He will not do it because this will take Him out of status, because God doesn't do injustice. This will drop Him, lower Him from the level of being God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we try to understand why this life is created, and why Allah created us, and what is our purpose on this earth, the best way to understand everything is to refer it back to the attributes of Allah. Because the attributes of Allah are the holy truth. Holy is the highest level of truth and perfection. Allah called Himself holy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Quddus, the holy, the highest level of truth and perfection. And His attributes are the holy, the highest level of truth and perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes can be divided into two groups. The attributes of greatness, Sifat al-Jalal, and the attributes of beauty, Sifat al-Jamal. Sifat al-Jalal, the attributes of greatness, are only owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only owner of these attributes. He is the only one that qualifies for these attributes, such as the Creator, Al-Khalaq, such as the Almighty. No one else deserves to be called or treated or thought about that way except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And monotheism is to confess and submit and believe that only Allah only alone is the only sole owner of the attributes of greatness and power and might. Nobody else owns it. And to behave according to that, and to act and to think in your heart and your brain, to believe in your heart and to act by your muscles, that Allah is the only owner of these attributes of greatness. Any action that you do that implies
denial of partial denial or full denial of the attributes of greatness of Allah, such as to fear someone more than Allah to the level that will make you cross the boundaries, the red lines that Allah drew to please that person or to avoid the punishment of that person, or to love or someone more than Allah to the level that you would cross the boundaries of halal and haram, lawful and unlawful, to please that person, to behave in such a way, then you are actually practically denying some of the attributes of greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your monotheism is injured at that point, which is a sin. On the other hand, Allah also owns the attributes of beauty as the most kind, the most gracious, the most generous, the most merciful, the sustenance provider. All these attributes of beauty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns it. And it is a perfect beauty, because beauty sometimes can be seduction. But Allah's beauty is a perfect beauty, free of imperfection, free of seduction, free of anything. It's a perfect, flawless beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a perfect, flawless, complete unit. He's flawless. As-salam. He is salima min kulli al-uyubi wa al-naqais. He is as-salam. He is the one who's flawless, complete, perfect, flawless, self-sufficient unit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A unit that is qayyum, stands by himself, supports everybody else and nothing supports him. That provides to everybody else and nothing provides to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is self-sufficient, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that poses a question to us. Now, if he is the self-sufficient, we need him, he doesn't need us, then why did he create? And the answer comes in the attributes of Allah. Allah will never ever announce or advertise a fake attribute about himself. He, among his attributes, are the creator. For this attribute to be true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to create. Allah, if Allah would exercise a false or a fake attribute about himself, then this will take him out of status. And definitely Allah will never ever do that. Yes, Allah can do anything, but he will not do things that will take him out of status, such as shameful things. And I remember this Greek philosopher who said, trying to confuse the people who believe in Allah, who say that Allah can do anything. He tells them, Allah can do anything? Yes. Sure he can do anything? Yes. Then he tells them, well, can he create a rock so heavy that he himself cannot carry? And the answer is, Allah will not do everything. Allah will do the things that he only wills. As he said, عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ, that he does what he wills. And he will never will to do anything that will take him out of status, such as creating a super god, or a co-god, or a sub-god, because this will take him out of status, will disqualify him, will bring him down from the position of being God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, if Allah creates such a gravity force, then this gravity force will act as a super God who is stronger than Allah. And Allah will never ever will to do anything like that. Will never will to do anything like that or to do a shameful thing. So Allah needs advertises about himself, he's the creator. Here we go. Look everywhere, you can see with your own eyes that Allah is the creator. And then why didn't he just create angels who are free of temptations, who are free of attractions of life, who are fully submissive to Allah without any distractions, perfect submission to Allah? Why doesn't he just create angels and we will have a community of angels and we would not have this corruption and bloodshed and evil running around? And the answer is simple. Because again, the attributes of Allah, there are other attributes of Allah that don't apply to angels, such as the sustenance provider, such as the most merciful, the most forgiving, Al-Halim, Al-Sabur, the most tolerant and the most patient. Angels don't need these attributes because they don't make mistakes. So there has to be a creation that has a free will, that can enjoy the tolerance and the patience of Allah, that have a room of time and space, that can choose within this room, they can choose where to go and what to do. And this creation is under the influence of temptations, evil temptations such as selfishness, greed, jealousy, ego, love of power, and all these intrinsic temptations inside our heart, trying to stimulate us and invite us and inspire us towards evil. And this human being has to be prone to the temptations and the attractions of life. And this human being, under the influence of his desires and emotions, and because of that, this human being might choose to do something wrong or evil, and will do something wrong and evil, and then this human being is invited to repent and go back to Allah, and Allah will forgive that human being, and Allah will have tolerance and forgiveness to this human being. These attributes of Allah will not be demonstrated unless we human beings are created and have a free will. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Shams, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. He created the soul and he inspired it with motives of evil, وَتَقْوَاهَا. And he also inspired it with righteousness. Righteousness in form of conscience that we have inside us. Righteousness in form of the brain who helps us to understand the guidance and see the light of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Righteousness in form of three spiritual motivations. The first one is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Some people take equals to Allah. They love them as much as they love Allah. Indeed, the believers, they love Allah the most. That is the first spiritual motivation. It's the love of Allah. The love of Allah. And the way Allah stimulates His love, by giving so much blessings to us. If I give you $1,000, you love me. If I give you 10,000, you love me 10 times as much. If I give you 100,000, you even love me more. Look what Allah has given you. And the way you should love Allah is to think how much what He has given you. By the love of Allah, number one. And number two, by the very strong desire to earn Jannah. And number three, by the very strong fear from the punishment of Allah. Very strong desire in the carrots, very strong fear from the stick. Then, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. They were racing and competing and doing good deeds, and they were stimulated by, praying to us, stimulated by رَغَبًا, strong desire to go to Jannah, رَغَبًا, strong fear from the punishment of Allah and hellfire. In Surah Al-Sajdah, Allah describes the people who push away the very comfortable bed at the late hours of the night. And you know how hard it is, the most beloved object in this universe to your body, 4 o'clock in the morning after a very long working day that has passed and a very long working day that is going to come, your body will never love any object more than the bed. And you have the right by Allah to sleep at that time and to rest, to get ready for the new day and to rest from the previous day. However, those people, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ, they push away those beds. تَتَجَافَ, when you push something that is so much loved by you, you push it away from your side. Even though you love it, you need it, you have very strong attraction to it. You push it away from during the late hours of night, and they get up in the night to perform the night prayer. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And this is the answer to the question that says, how could they bring, where did they get this source of power from? Where did they get such a spiritual power from to push away that object during the late hours of night? And the answer is, خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Fear of the punishment of Allah and the day of judgment, and also the other one is greed and desire of the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah inspired us with both. And then, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that when we invited by both, we might goof, we might make a wrong decision, wrong turn, wrong mistake, because of all of these things, and then we need the forgiveness and the mercy, and His forgiveness and mercy will become true implemented, that true implemented qualities and attributes that are not false or fake or superficial any or abstract attributes anymore. Because that Allah will never advertise such a thing about Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never also subhanahu wa ta'ala have a child that will inherit some of his attributes of greatness of the Father. And then where when Allah advertises about himself that he is al-wahid al-ahad al-fard al-samad, the only perfect, flawless, complete unit that only honors the attributes of greatness, and somebody inherited from his father these attributes of greatness, then this by itself will disqualify Allah from being a God. And Allah has said that in the Quran, Surah Maryam. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. They claim that Allah has a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You said something horrible. تَكَادَ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا. That the earth, the skies are about to crack, the heaven are about to collapse, the earth, the mountains are about to crush. And دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. Because they have claimed that Allah has a son. And listen to this word, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. It's not appropriate for Allah to have a son. It's not appropriate because this will take him out of status, because the son will inherit the attributes of greatness and share the attributes of greatness with his father. Allah is the perfect, flawless unit, no partitions in it. We are created from a body and a soul, a pair, everything else in وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Everything else other than Allah is created from a pair, body, soul. And we have body and soul. But Allah is a unit, perfect flow, no partitions in the middle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever will to do anything that He subhanahu that will take Him subhanahu wa ta'ala out of status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for very specific mission. That He declared in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am creating a representation of myself on earth. How could we be the representation of Allah? Representations of the attributes of beauty of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous and He wants us to be generous. He's kind and He wants us to be kind. He's fair and He wants us to be fair. To represent His fairness on earth. He's forgiving and He wants us to forgive each other. To represent His forgiveness on earth. He's the most kind and He wants us to be kind with one another. To represent His kindness on earth. Khalifa, a representative of His attributes of beauty on earth. A follower of His moral values and manners. The manners of Allah, the attributes of beauty of Allah. Our job is to take these manners and convert them from being abstract words that are not implemented in the land of reality and bring them to life and make them a real life governing values and principles that are practiced. Nations are built on these values. Nations should be nothing but a direct implementation of these attributes of beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And this is our job. On the other hand, the shaitan wants to build his own kingdom on earth. A kingdom that is based on selfishness, greed, exploitation of the weak, imperialism, killing, taking advantage of the weak people, keeping them corrupted and divided so they can be controlled and ruled and their wealth can be taken away from them. This kingdom, the kingdom of shaitan that the shaitan wants to establish on earth, the shaitan is working hard, recruiting brains and muscles and soldiers to work to establish his kingdom on earth, promising them false glory, false wealth, false happiness. Why false? They get it. Yeah, they get wealth and happiness. Then why it is false? It is false because it's a short-term happiness. It's a short-term power. It is a short-term wealth. It ends with death. Who takes it? All these short, what good does it do to any one of us? If you have power, a short-term power, followed, short-term power and honor, followed by a long, eternal, miserable humiliation and hellfire. This is why it's fake. The true, eternal happiness, the everlasting happy life can only be promised by Allah. It's only owned by Allah. The shaitan promises a short-term happiness and pleasure that will be forgotten. Every single pleasure is forgotten. What remains is the record of the bad deed. If you disobey Allah to get a pleasure, the pleasure is forgotten and the bad deed is recorded. In the record, what remains is the record. And every pain that you might suffer because you stood up for Allah, you did your homework that Allah, you did the job that Allah asked you to do, you took Allah as your employer and you are His employee, and you worked hard as a reformer to establish His values as real life principles and governing values on earth, any punishment you get from the soldiers of the Satan, or any suffering or sacrifice you make, any pain that you feel will be forgotten. What remains is the record of the good deed. and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would be translated to an everlasting happy life in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send this Quran to be written with the cheap ink on a cheap paper. Allah sent the Quran to be implemented as a real life values and principles. Our job is to take this Quran.
So when you look at it and compare reality, compare the Quran to reality,
you find 100% match. This is our job. And this is our job as Khalifa, Allah's deputy, Allah's representatives on earth. But right now, the good guys wanna fly up, the bad guys wanna decline down with gravity and hit the dirt. And guess humanity at large is declining. Because the bad guys are so much, so dedicated, so active, doing their homework, working, using the laws of nature that Allah has made available to everyone to use. Allah has made the laws of nature available to serve believers and the non-believers. Allah has made these laws of nature available to everyone. They are using it. And they are so clever and dedicated to the cause that the aeroplane of humanity at large is declining. And the reformers, the righteous people, are chickens, are afraid. They are hiding under the bed. They are not doing, they are not working. They give to Allah the leftover of their time and money and effort. After the personal business and personal interest eats up all their time, money and effort, whatever left over, they give to Allah. And so what you see around you is nothing but a direct consequence of our shortcomings. What are we doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now the other question comes and says, well, why would Allah create His own enemy? Isn't these temptations are enemies of Allah? Why would Allah create the Satan, which is His own enemy, and give him so much freedom and power to be able to recruit brains and muscles and build His kingdom, which is opposite to the kingdom of Allah? And indeed, there is so much wisdom in the creation of the Satan. The first wisdom is that this Satan is challenging every single quality that we claim for ourselves. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. And do people think that they would be left to claim qualities without being challenged, without being tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ We have challenged the people before them and tested them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ Allah will expose the true believers and will expose the fake believers, the ones who claim fake qualities. Will expose them first to themselves, because you sometimes deceive your own self. You lie until you believe your own self. And you think falsely, you think highly of yourself and you're not high. So when you run through the test, you have a chance to discover your own self and repent. And then to Allah also has committed Himself to expose the truth. In the day of judgment, the truth is going to prevail. And Allah has committed Himself to the cause of prevailing the truth. As He said in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ I have not created heavens and earth for the purpose of sport and playing. بَلْ لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهُوًا لَاتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا إِن كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ If I am looking for amusement or entertainment, I would have generated my own entertainment inside me because I am self-sufficient and I don't need anything outside me. بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ The purpose is, one of the purposes is to prevail the truth, make the truth prevail over the falsehood. Every Allah is committed to show the truth about you and me. These challenges posed to us by the shaitan are going to show who are you, who are me, who is he, who is she. The truth about every one of us will show when we run through these tests and challenges. And the second reason Allah created the shaitan, which is has to be the opposite of Allah, so that we can recognize the beauty of Allah by contrast. Let me ask you a question. If Allah did not create any sour food, and all the food on earth is sweet, and I give you a piece of a chocolate, and I tell you, brother, take this piece of chocolate, and you eat it, and I ask you, what do you think? Is it sweet? The answer will say, what do you mean sweet? It's normal. I say, no, it's sweet. You say, no, it's normal. I say, why do you say normal? I say, I've never tasted anything different than that. How can we recognize the generosity of Allah without seeing the stinginess of the shaitan? How can we recognize the kindness of Allah without experiencing the meanness of the shaitan? How can we appreciate and recognize the light without seeing the darkness? How could we? We have to see the opposite. How could we appreciate the justice and fairness of Allah without experiencing the injustice and the unfairness of the shaitan? How could we? And then the third purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the shaitan for, He has created him to be the source of every evil thing. Because Allah will never will or allow Himself to be a source of any evil. So there has to be a source of evil. And this source of evil and wickedness has to be other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that source is the shaitan, which is the complete opposite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth reason Allah has created the shaitan for is that Allah wants us to have a free will. If we don't have temptations, if we don't have, if we're not so prone to the attractions of life, if we don't have distractions, then, what is the big deal if we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that also answers the question, why did Allah make it so hard? Why did Allah ask us to fast during Ramadan? Does He want to torture us? Does He want to make us hard to us? No, it's not. But if it's not difficult, it will have no value. It has to be challenging and difficult to have any value. For example, breathing. Breathing is so easy. Can anybody get credit for breathing? Can anybody run around advertising about himself, I can breathe? No, breathing is so easy and so natural that nobody deserves any credit for it. But it's not challenging at all. If fasting is as easy as breathing, then what kind of credit do you get if you fast? Why do you deserve to go to Jannah if you fast? There has to be challenging. It has to be difficult. It has to be hard. It has to require a commitment, brains and muscles and thinking. Look how much suffering. Look how much work the Prophet Muhammad has done to establish sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to establish the kingdom of Allah on earth, to establish a righteous superpower. A righteous superpower where the decision is based on moral values, where the power and the sword is made to serve righteousness, where the decision is not based on materialistic interest, is not based on strategic interest, is not based on any of these things, but the decision is based on righteousness, is based on the manners of Allah. The decision is based on the kindness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be established. This is the kingdom of Allah, the righteous superpower that Prophet Muhammad has worked so hard to establish. Look how much suffering and hard work and struggle he has to go through to bring the attributes of Allah back to govern life. When he started, the attributes of the Satan were prevailing over life. And there was no justice or fairness at all. And people were slaving one another. And people were taking advantage of each other. And the strong is enslaving the weak, the rich is enslaving the poor. And that's what was life about before the Prophet Muhammad. People were confused, nobody knew, is there a God? Is there anybody who owns these? Is God a fiction? Is He true? And if He is there, so many people said even if God is there, they ignored Him. As though He did not send Quran or send guidance or send prophets. They completely lived their lives ignoring Him. There was all these values were prevailing before Prophet Muhammad. Look how much work He took him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bring the manners of Allah back as the governing manners and principles. And build a righteous superpower that stands up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stands up for justice and for righteousness. People who sacrificed their blood, sacrificed their time, money and effort, worked as employees of Allah, full-time employees. They took Allah more serious than they took their own paying employer. And they did their job. Look how much struggle it took them to bring the Quran to be a governing real life principles and values on earth, to build a righteous superpower based on the moral values and manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it is challenging. This is why it is difficult. If the angels worship Allah, definitely they have to worship Allah. How couldn't they worship Allah? They don't have any kind of temptations. How could they even think about evil? They don't have any kind of temptation at all, or any distraction that takes them away from full, complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any distraction. But when a human being, subject to all these attractions of life, submits himself or herself to Allah in full submission, and rejects temptations. Allah wants us to be Muslims or submissive to Him, not submissive to temptations. And look at Ramadan, for example, when it is so tempting to eat and drink, and you're so hungry and so thirsty, your temptations are pushing you to eat and drink. And then you turn your face to your temptations and you ridicule your temptations and say, "No, I am not listening to you." Your temptation says, "I want your happiness. I want to give you the pleasure of food and drinks." And you say, "No, you want to drag me to hellfire." And you look on the right side to your conscience and promote your conscience and say, "Yes, you are the one who wants to lead me to Jannah. You are the one who's telling me not to eat or to drink." Self-enforcing thing. Allah wants us to be in control of our own temptations, and don't let our temptations be in control of us. Allah wants us to be submissive to Him, not submissive to the evil temptations. When we are submissive to Allah, when we adopt the manners of Allah, we will be kind, similar to the kindness of Allah, or actually being representatives of the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people will love us, will be kind, will be generous, will be sweet, because we are representing the moral values of Allah. On the other hand, if we represent the moral values of the shaitan, or if we represent the manners of the shaitan, then we will be selfish, greedy, jealous. Nobody will like us. People will hate us. And we will be wicked. And who likes the wicked? Who likes the stingy? If we follow the shaitan, Allah wants our happiness. Allah doesn't want anything except our happiness. Allah is on our side. He's so biased towards us. You do one good deed, you get 10 times as much. You do bad deed, He gives you one. And if you repent, He wipes it away. If you repeat the same sin, He doesn't take away His previous repentance or His previous forgiveness. It's recorded. He doesn't wipe it away. Dear brothers and sisters, for the sake of time, we will stop here, but inshallah we will continue in the lesson today after the Isha prayer. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني